We're not saved so we can get out of our financial binds, although trusting Him will help us make right choices financially. We're not saved to have some emotional experience of worship, although salvation does bring great joy. We have been saved and grasped and held by Christ so that we will become like Christ.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Greg, with all the biblical resources available to us via the internet, smartphone apps, and more, why is spiritual growth still such a mystery to so many Christians?
Well, Dave, that's a great question. So let's find out the answer as we turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 16.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
But I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. We're going to see that Paul pressed on with a singular purpose to become like Christ. Singular purpose. I press on. Now he presses on here. We're going to see he begins to use an athletic metaphor to describe as what we're going to see is the Christian life or the course of the Christian life. He says, I press on. But later on, we see that this pressing on is related to the goal or the prize. The goal speaks of the finish line in Greek, and the prize speaks of the prize for winning a race, the award for victory in the games. And so he begins to use this athletic metaphor. And this term press on, used in verse 12 and verse 14, is a common word in Scripture. It actually means in other places, it's usually translated persecute or pursue. It means to go after something diligently. It's like an animal chasing after another animal, pursuing it. And that's why it was used to speak of persecuting, because when someone persecuted someone, they were pursuing them. And so Paul uses it in a different way. I press on. I am running after this. That is my singular focus. I don't know if you know animals very well. All I know is dogs, because we've had dogs. But when our dogs have seen a cat, they just, choom, they have one focus. And they're going after that. They're pursuing it. They're not looking at anything else. They're not listening to us, right? So the Apostle Paul says here, I press on, and we're going to see towards the goal, towards the prize. The picture is of an athlete running as fast as he can and as hard as he can, pursuing one thing, the goal, the finish line, and the prize that is received at the finish line. That's what he's saying. And notice Paul pressed on, and he knew within this pressing on that he hadn't made it yet. Look at verse 12 again. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. You see, we need to remember that verse 12 is not in isolation. It is connected to what we saw back in verse 11. The term obtained speaks of taking hold. So what is Paul saying here? Remember verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. I may live this way, but not that I have obtained it or have already become, as we'll see, perfect. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet, he's saying. And notice he elaborates on this obtaining, this dying to sin and living unto God. He says, not that I've already obtained it, what he spoke about in verses 10 and 11, or, he speaks in parallel, have become perfect. What's he talking about here when he says perfect? Well, the term in Greek translated perfect is used throughout our passage here, by the way. It comes from the Greek word teleao. It speaks of perfection or completeness or maturity, attaining a goal in a sense. And it's used in different ways. And indeed, in our passage, the same word is used in two different ways within our passage. Look down in verse 15. This is the same word. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. Same word, perfect. Now, we're going to see it's not speaking of perfection. We're going to talk about this in a minute. So how could Paul say this? I haven't become perfect yet. And then verse 15, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, he's saying, including himself. So I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect. So what is he talking about? Well, first of all, he's saying, I'm not here yet. But clearly he's saying, I believe that he's mature. I'm not there all the way. I haven't made it all the way. But as many as us who are mature, I believe that's a good translation. We see that in places. As many as are mature. So what's the point he's making here? Folks, you will never be complete on this earth in your walk with Christ. You will never reach complete sanctification on this earth. As Paul said, I haven't got to that place yet. There's no sinless perfectionism. 1 John 1:8 is a verse that kills that idea immediately. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you think you have made it to a point where you do not sin anymore, you are lying and the truth is not in you. We are not going to stop physically sinning until we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. But what we're going to see is we should be sinning less and less. God is working on us. He is making us like Christ. We are to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We are to excel still more. We won't become complete or perfect in this life, but we can become mature in this life. It's the same word. He's saying, not that I'm complete yet, but as many as us who are complete or mature, we need to have this attitude. Now, there's three aspects of our perfection, in a sense, teleao, corresponding to three aspects of our salvation. There's justification, sanctification, and glorification. Let me give you some examples. When we trusted in Christ Jesus, we were justified by faith. We are seen as complete or perfectly righteous in Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, is speaking of Christ. And we have our same word, teleao, which means complete or perfect or finished or mature. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering, that's speaking of Jesus Christ, he has perfected, teleao, for all time those who are sanctified. One sacrifice brought about our forgiveness of sins. We are perfected in that sense. But notice we also see in Scripture we are being made perfect or complete. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, turn there. God is working us. He is making us mature. He is completing what he started. He's completing what he started, but we're not there yet. But we should be growing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we have the goal of teaching from those who God has gifted to teach in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until, here's the goal, we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Man, to a teleos man, the complete or mature man. You'll see you're translated mature there. Our same word is perfect and complete. To the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The Apostle Paul would share in Colossians chapter 1:28, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man teleos, complete or mature in Christ. And then we have scriptures that show that we will be perfect in the future when we're in God's presence. Now, Hebrews 12:23. I'm not going to read the whole portion here, but this is a benediction in a sense. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men, what? Made perfect. We're going to be made perfect when we see Jesus. We are complete in terms of our justification. We are being made perfect now, in a sense, or mature right now. And we will be complete when we see Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, we sang about this a minute ago. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Three aspects of being made complete, perfect, or mature. That same word. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall what? Be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. The goal is to be like Jesus Christ. And when we see him, we will be like Jesus Christ completely, completely set apart from sin, glorified. But right now, because that's our goal, we set forward towards it right now. We focus on that right now. So the Apostle Paul, back in Philippians chapter 3, is saying, I haven't made it yet. Verse 12, not that I've obtained it or have already become perfect or complete, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I'm not there yet, but I press on. And I press on for a goal. He says, but I press on in order that I, and here's the reason, I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Paul understood the goal of his salvation. The term lay and lay hold is an intense form of lambano, kata lambano, which speaks of overtaking or grasping forcibly, making one's own, that it would be mine, I would lay hold of it. Paul is saying, the reason I keep pressing on is so that I would lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. If we only grasp the meaning of what he's saying here, our Christian lives would be revolutionized. Because of the lack of teaching at times and the false gospel in the church these days, people don't know why God saves people. They think it's just for that initial forgiveness. They don't understand the goal of the salvation that God has for them. We are not saved so that we can have better marriages, although Jesus can help that. We're not saved so we can get out of our financial binds, although trusting him will help us make right choices financially. We're not saved to have some emotional experience of worship, although salvation does bring great joy. We have been saved and grasped and held by Christ so that, as we will see, we will become like Christ. Why did Jesus lay hold forcefully of Paul to make him his own? Obviously in context that he would become like Christ. One pastor writes, the supreme purpose of the church is not evangelizing the world. I know that's often held up to be the supreme aim of the purpose of the church. Certainly Jesus sent us to preach the gospel to every creature. That is the most important thing, but it's not the supreme thing, not the final goal. Romans 8:29 speaks of God predestining his own to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is the ultimate end of evangelism. We get saved unto something, unto a relationship with Christ in which we become more and more like him and will be like him completely when we see him in terms of character and righteousness. So the Apostle Paul is saying here, I press on in order that I may lay hold of what I was laid hold of for by Christ. It's pretty simple, you see. And unfortunately, this has been so polluted in teaching these days, making it about your experience and yourself and all this stuff rather than about being like Christ. You see, God has called us into a relationship. He's called us into a relationship where we are to be set apart from sin. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should become holy and blameless before him in love. And that calling should motivate us to walk differently. Ephesians 4, 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling from which you've been called. You've been called out of sin and unto Christ. And so walk that way, progressively more and more. Press towards that goal. You see, Christ laid hold of us in salvation that we would become like him and gain his glory. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a goal of salvation. The false teaching and the lack of teaching in churches misses the whole middle part. Yes, there's salvation and there's glory in eternity, but it misses the middle. And that's where we're living now, isn't it? In the middle. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, talking to true believers, because God has chosen you from the beginning, what? For salvation. And it's through a process, through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a direction. There's a goal. And there's a path to that goal. And folks, Paul is pressing on towards the goal which he was laid hold of. Christ saved you to become like him in a real relationship where you abide and trust in him. A real relationship where you know him better and better. This is God's plan for you now. And Paul pressed forward towards that goal. But he recognized he hadn't gotten there yet. There's no pride in Paul here that he's some super mature saint. He'll give an honest evaluation of himself in a moment. But he's saying, I have not got there yet. Philippians 3 again, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, or complete, but I press on in order that I may lay hold, I may grasp forcibly that which of I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Every circumstance in our lives right now, God is using for this goal. Every conversation, every personal interaction, everything you might be worried about or tempted to sin in that way. Every situation God is using to draw us to trust in him and have a different mindset, to die to sin and to live to Christ. And when we fail, we confess and he forgives us. This is what God is doing through that. He's taking the bad and turning it good because he's conforming us to his image. Turn to Romans 8:28. We often read the first verse there. We never go to the next one. First verse is great, but it's connected. Romans 8:28. And you probably all know this, memorized it. When you were kids, you were taught to memorize these scriptures. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Called to be like Christ, by the way. For explanation, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become what? Conformed to the image of his son. He predetermined that we would be conformed to the image of his son. And Paul pressed forward towards that goal. Completeness in Christ, Christ's likeness, although he knew he wouldn't make it all the way until he was with Christ, as we're going to see. He wanted to focus on that which God laid hold of him for. Why did God save you? He saved you so that you could have a relationship with him and become like his son, Jesus Christ. And that gives him glory. That gives him great glory, by the way. You see, because Christ is the only one that pleases God. And when Christ is manifest in us, we please God by faith. Paul pressed towards that goal of completeness, Christ's likeness. He saw the goal and he knew what he was doing and knew what God was doing in everything in his life. It's God is using those things. That's why we are to count it joy, my brethren, when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance, remaining under, and endurance, its perfect result, that we would be complete and lacking in nothing. That's what he's doing. He pressed forward to that. And we need to renew our minds when things come our way, and we need to see them in light of this instead. If you're saved, Jesus Christ laid hold of you. But he laid hold of you to make him like himself, to conform you to his image. So you need to be pressing forward towards that. Let me ask you, do you press forward towards it? Do you press on? What do you press forward towards? Yes, we have the things he has us do in this life, but they should be in the context of pressing forward in righteousness to be like Christ. How many churches would be changed if believers were taught what God is doing after he saved you? It changes your perspective in everything in your life. Everything. We saw in Ephesians that the goal was to the mature man or complete man, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, growing up. God has given us so many examples. Look at children. They have to grow up. Some of them don't, right? When a child doesn't grow up, it's kind of ugly, isn't it? When someone is an adult and acts like a child, it's kind of ugly, isn't it? We need to grow up. That's the goal. Become more like Christ. Are you pressing forward? If you thought this way, things would change, and we have to renew our minds because we're not there yet, right? We would be rejoicing rather than worrying, thanking rather than complaining, submitting rather than demanding, trusting rather than relying on self and others. So then, Paul pressed forward with a single purpose towards the goal, but he had a single focus also. Single focus. Back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 now. Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet. I haven't grasped that goal yet. I haven't laid hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice he says, I don't regard myself as having laid all of it yet. Again, Paul is reckoning himself rightly. If you think you've gotten there yet, then you're dead and glorified. That's the only way that could happen, right? He says, I haven't made it yet. And there's great spiritual danger to thinking you have made it. Pride, folks. Believing you've reached a plateau spiritually while still in this life. We are to keep growing and keep growing and keep growing until we come at Christ in His presence. It's a continuing process that should increase during the course of our lives and will never be complete until we see Christ Jesus. And this is a warning to us. Godly man, the Apostle Paul, is saying, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. I'm not there yet. But we are to be making progressive steps towards that goal, as we're going to say. Let me ask you, how much spiritual accounting do you do? Do you look at your life in light of Scripture and evaluate it? We should be doing this, and we should be seeing progress in Christ. We should be sinning less in certain areas. God works on those. We should be confessing quicker. We shouldn't be holding on to things. We should be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, but we're not there yet. We need to learn from Him. With that said, there's no room for complacency or staying where you're at or not maturing in Christ. Look at verse 13 again. But brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but contrast, one thing I do, or literally, one thing. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal. The one thing is pressing on towards the goal. But we're going to see there are two things that qualify it. Two things that could be a stumbling block if we don't do them. Two things that get in the way from us pressing on towards the goal. And if we don't do that, we're not going to be able to press on. Understand the grammar here. The one thing is pressing on towards the goal. But notice there are two distinct actions within this. First, forgetting what lies behind. Uh-oh. We get a certain perverse joy out of going over the things in our past. We do. Holding on to things. Holding on to issues. Holding on to situations. Having excuses for the future. Holding on. He says, forgetting what lies behind. And reaching forward to what lies ahead. You see, this is a race metaphor. You cannot win the race, let alone get the prize for winning the race, if you are looking back. You will never win a race looking backwards. You will never win it. You will lose. And if you are looking backwards, you are losing the race right now.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments we have left in today's broadcast, what's one thing I can do today to help me become more focused on the goal of becoming like Christ?
Well, Dave, very simply, the one thing that we can do to become more focused on the goal of becoming like Christ is to continually transform our hearts and minds with the Word of God. You see, we'll be conformed to this world if we don't allow God's Word to change our thinking and then thus our actions. When we set our minds on the things above, the things of Christ, we won't need to wonder what we need to do to keep focusing on Jesus, because we will be doing it. So then, set your mind on the things above, not the things of this earth. Allow Christ through His Word, by His Spirit, to change your focus. Fix your eyes on Jesus.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.